And so God just shared a few thoughts with me, and I want to share those with you. And it's from a story in a Bible. If you've been around the Bible any length of time, you'll probably know the story of Caleb and Joshua and the spies in the land of Canaan. I want to share some thoughts with you that on that, if that's okay. And I'll give you some context, because we haven't got time to go into all of it. I'm not going to read the entire story for you. I'll give you some context. The Israelites at this point have been in slavery for 400 years. Okay, so that's many decades and generations of people that have grown up in an environment of slavery. You can imagine their spirit would have been crushed. Their confidence would have been crushed. Their self-esteem would have been crushed. They have been living smaller than their potential for 400 years. They have been conditioned to live small. And then God sends Moses with a message to the people that he has future plans for them. God sends Moses to say, I have got something for you that is better than slavery. I have got a future for you. I have got something that is better than poverty, something that is bigger than what you are living in right now. I have got a place of promise for you. I have got a place of possibility and opportunity. Can grow. Sorry, I don't know what happened there. A place where you can grow. A place where there is going to be freedom. A place where you can build a better future for yourselves, for your children, for your community, for your careers, for your family. I've got a land for you where you can build homes. It's going to be a place of fruitfulness and influence and success. God has something for you that is beyond what you are currently experiencing. This is the message of Moses to the Israelites after 400 years of slavery. God wanted to grow them to live big. Have you ever felt that unquenchable feeling inside that God has more for you? Have you ever sensed that? I just feel like, I know where I am right now, but I just feel I know God's got something more for me. I know God has a bigger thing for me, a bigger purpose for my life. That sense that there is more beyond what I currently know and experience. You know that you're there, but you know you're not going to stay there. Have you got a sense that God has got something more for you? I want to encourage you today to fight for your future. To fight for your future. We'll go to the first verse in Numbers chapter 13 where we find this story. And the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. We won't read the rest of the passage. I'll kind of paraphrase it for you. But Moses does exactly what God told him to do. He gathers together some leaders. He pulls them together and he sends them out to Canaan with this mission to bring back a report on the land that God had told them would be theirs. He wants to know all about it. He tells them, tell me what the land is like. I want to know, is it good land or is it bad land? Is there vegetation? Are there cities there? Are those cities fortified? Who lives in this land? Is there fruit there? Is there a future? What is this land that God has in mind for us in our future? Can you bring me back a report? Bring me back some fruit from the land. Let me know what it's like. And so that's what the spies did. And after 40 days of investigating the land, they came back and they brought a report of the land. And the report goes something like this. They said, the land is great and it is flowing with milk and honey. So I've got some milk and I've got some honey from the land of Canaan. And I've also got some grapes from Co-op. Because they brought back some grapes. Now, these are just obviously very small and pathetic grapes. But they brought back, the Bible says that the grapes, the fruit of this land was so big and so heavy that two men on poles had to carry them back. That's how fruit, and milk and honey, by the way, doesn't actually mean that they had a co-op there with milk and honey. That represents vegetation, fruitfulness. The land was ripe. It was ready to be lived in, to be blessed. It was rich with everything that you could need for life. Milk, honey, and fruit. So they're sharing this report. They're telling them of the milk and the honey and the fruit, the possibility of their future, how incredible it was. But they said to Moses, we also want to tell you some other news, some not so good news about the land of Canaan, because there are some people who live there, and those people are powerful. They have fortified cities with walls, and they're not going to want us to live in the land with them. They are scary, they are big, they have giants in that land. They are so big, and it is going to be a very difficult place for us to walk into. There are giants in the land. And today what I want us to do is I want us to take that picture of what we've just described of the land of Canaan as an analogy for our own lives today, of our own future. The good news is that God has a future for us. The good news is God has a land for us, a place that is full of abundance and of life. God has that for you, for your family, for your career, for your children. God has a place and a future for you that is greater than you can possibly even imagine. It is flowing with milk and with honey and with grapes that are so big you've never seen them in Tesco. That's the kind of future God has for you. How do I know this? Well, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." God has a hope and a future for you, a promised land for you. John 10:10 says, "Jesus came so that we might have life and life in all its fullness." Like with all the milk and all the honey and all the grapes you can fit in your trolley, I've got it for you. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which I prepared in advance for you to do." God has plans for you, good plans for you. He has opportunities that he is preparing for you right now, even as we speak. You may not even know it, but there's a land out there for you, full of opportunity. God is preparing people for you to meet at the right time. You're going to be in the right time, in the right place at the right time. God has a place for you. God has a path for your life. And as you commit to live on God's path for your life, God has got something so much bigger for you, so much more beyond than what you currently know and experience right now, regardless of age. God has something more for you. But there's some not so good news as well. There's giants in the land of milk and honey. Andy, can I borrow you a second? You're about the closest thing to a giant I know. Come and stand here. Can you just stand in front of the milk and honey for me a minute? You can boo him. You can definitely boo him. Yeah, because he's a Man City supporter. The evil of giants, the most evil of them all. Okay. There is a future for you. There is life beyond what you know and experience right now. Something bigger that God has for every single one of us. But there's giants in the land. There's giants in the way of the milk and the honey. And if you want the milk and the honey and the grapes, you're going to have to fight some giants. And he works in a prison. He knows he knows how to fight. He's a big giant. I think that's what they do. I think you beat people up. I don't know. He doesn't. Every single one of us have to make a decision on a daily basis, okay? This is what personally God spoke to me about. This is a daily decision I have to make. Not once every Sunday, not once every conference, not once when I was a kid. I have to make a daily decision. Am I going to allow or choose to sit back and allow life and the world to happen to me? Or am I going to fight for the future God has promised me? That's a decision we all have to make. Am I going to sit back and just let this happen to me, or am I going to fight for the future I believe God has for me? And so the Israelites, the we know the 10 spies were sharing this bad report of the land. They saw this giant and they were scared of him. They did not like the look of him. And they began to spread fear and worry and negativity and doubt about their future because of the giant. And we get to verse 30, and this is where Caleb comes in. And Caleb says, the report, at this point, like, the crowd are getting really rowdy. Like, they are like, this is scary stuff. Like, we cannot do this. And Caleb, in verse 30, says this. He silenced the people before Moses. And he said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. We can certainly do it. What Caleb was saying is, I believe our future is worth fighting for. I have seen the future. I've seen the land of promise, and it's worth fighting for. We can do it. I know what they're saying is true. I know there's giants. I know they support Man City. I know they're scary. I know it's going to be hard. We may even lose people. It's going to be the most difficult thing we ever do. But I believe it's worth fighting for. I believe our future is worth fighting for. And they responded to him. They said in verse 33, but we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Like, they had such low self-esteem. And that's where fear and anxiety come from. When you have so much low self-esteem that you, in your own eye, you just seem like a grasshopper, like everything else is too big. Like nobody sees the God in you. You just feel like a grasshopper to everyone. I want you to know, personally, for me, I've grown up with challenges of insecurity, feeling like a grasshopper before everybody. And I know what that feels like, and this fear and worry and anxiety that comes from low self-esteem. 400 years of slavery will do that to you. We feel like grasshoppers. We're so insignificant. We're no match for that challenge. There's too many giants. The opposition, the adversity is too much for us. And I believe that the biggest mistake I've made, and the biggest mistake many Christians make in their life, is to believe that God, if God wants us to have something that is good, that we won't have to fight for it. It's the biggest mistake I believe we can make. If God wants us to have something good, we won't have to fight for it. I believe God has more for you. I believe God has more for your marriage, for your kids, for your career. But you've got to be willing to fight for it. Kayla said, I can see the future, and it's worth fighting for. I believe God has more for this church. And don't get me wrong, I love this church, and I love what God's doing here. But I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied. I think God's got more for us. I want our teams on Sundays, I want these services to be thriving, to be full of life and energy, where people are serving in their gifts. We've got worship leaders in abundance. We're having to send them to Gloucester. We've got kids teams, and we've got people doing all, so everybody's enjoying serving God and serving each other, and you know, it's hard to kick them out because everybody just wants to stay in the house. I'm believing for encounter services that are just where people are giving their lives to God. You know, families are being baptized, and it's just the presence of God is in the place. People are being healed and restored, and wow, I've got a dream for a future, and I think it's worth fighting for. I'm believing for grow groups. Small groups around Keynsham, in every area of Keynsham, homes that are like beacons of light to their community, where people are growing together in relationship with each other and with God, and they're learning, and they're becoming confident, and their self-esteem is being lifted as they learn how to live out their faith for God, and they're making a difference in their community. And I believe in for outreach projects that are just so incredible that they are blessing this community every hour of the day, that we are just serving and serving, that people love serving their community, that people are giving to what we believe in, that we are going to bless our community. Family, imagine families being baptized in here. Addicts being set free from addictions. People who have grown up living and conditioned to live in abuse and slavery, even in our community right now, are being set free because of the outreach and the ministry of this church. I'm believing that there's a future for us that is so much bigger than we can possibly imagine, but we got to fight for it. We have to fight for it. We need to be bold. We need to be courageous. We need to be audacious. It's going to be messy. He's not going to let you get to that milk and honey without a fight. It's going to cost us. It's going to cost us financially. We're going to have to give. Those cards are pretty, but they don't do anything if we don't give. We're going to have to serve. Church is lovely, and it's nice to sit there, but we're going to have to give and serve and get involved, and we're going to have to sacrifice things. It's going to cost us emotionally. Like, there are times when I just don't want to do it anymore. And I have to get myself up and go, I believe the future is worth the fight. And I have to go again. I have to keep myself going and fighting for the future. There are giants. It's not going to be easy, but it's worth it. It's worth it for now, and it's worth it for the generations to come. You can sit down if you want, Andy. Chris, you can probably come up if you want. I'm going to close by sharing this last quick story with you. This story is found in the book of Nehemiah, another famous story in the Old Testament. And at this point in the book of Nehemiah, the city of Jerusalem has been destroyed by their enemies, and the people of Israel are defenseless. They are, they've been overcome, they have been destroyed, they've been demoralized, they are living in poverty, their homes have been burnt to the ground. Their walls have been burnt to the ground. The city is destitute. And Nehemiah is living in a foreign land. His enemies have taken him away into a foreign land. And he is in slavery. But God's favor is with Nehemiah. And in that place of slavery, God gives Nehemiah favor. See, God is always working in our situations. We may feel like we're in slavery. We may feel like we're in a place of smallness, but God's working for the future that he has for you. He's got things planned in advance. And Nehemiah hears the report of his hometown of Jerusalem. He hears the destitution. He hears the pain, and his heart is broken. At this point, the favor of God has been so powerful on Nehemiah. As a slave, he's grown up into, he's been promoted into such a place of influence that he has the king's ear. He is the cupbearer to the king. He's got that kind of influence. And so God tells Nehemiah, he says, I want you to go back. I've got a plan for Jerusalem. I want you to rebuild the city. I want you to rebuild the walls. I want you to go back and rebuild my people. And his heart is for Jerusalem. And so he goes to the king and he tells the king what he needs to do. And the king is for him. The king says yes. More than that, the king gives him the money and the resource he needs to go and do it, such as the favor of God on him at this time. And so Nehemiah returns back to his people and he gathers the people and he says, there's a future for you. It's bigger than what you currently know. It's bigger than what you're living in right now. You don't have to stay in this place anymore. We can rebuild this city. There are we can rebuild something for the generations that follow on from us. And he starts gathering all of the people. And he begins to share this heart that God had downloaded into, this plan that God had downloaded into his heart. And so he starts encouraging them. And they start trying to rebuild the city. They feel weak. They feel discouraged. They don't feel like they've got the strength to do it. They look at the whole of Ketchum and they think, how can a small little church like this make an impact? And they can't see it. And so Nehemiah encourages them. Their enemies are mocking them. their enemies are attacking them. The people are struggling. The people are complaining. The people are doubting. And then we get to Nehemiah 4:14. And I want you to notice what he says here. In verse 14, he says, "After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people, 'Do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of the giants and the challenges. Do not be afraid of the enemies and the animosity. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families. Fight for your sons and your daughters. Fight for your wives and your homes.'" Nehemiah says, "I know there's going to be a giant, a battle, but it's worth fighting for. Your family is worth fighting for. Your children are worth fighting for. The next generation are worth fighting for." And I'll finish by saying this. When you choose to fight for the better future that God has for you, when you choose to fight for the bigger things that God has for you, when you choose to fight against the sin that you know is in your own life, I know there are attitudes, there's sin in my life, there's habits in my life, things that I have to battle with and fight daily. When you have to fight the negativity or the fear or the doubts in your mind, when you have to fight to pray, to fast, when you have to fight to wake up to read your Bible because you just don't want to read it, but you know you have to, and you have to fight for it. When you fight to serve when you're tired, to give when you don't have much to give, when you do that, when you fight, you're not just fighting for you. You're fighting for your family. You're fighting for your children. You're fighting for the next generation. And your fight will overflow into the health of your families, your marriage, your children. You fight for them. You fight for those who can't fight for themselves. You fight for those who have given up their fight. Your children won't have to fight some of the battles you had to fight because you were willing to take a stand and say, "I know my past is one of slavery and poverty, but that is not the future that God has for me, so I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to fight for my future." I know it's easier to stay in bed a little bit longer. I know it's easier to let the people who've got a bit more money than us, let them do the giving. It's easier to let the people that have got more time than us to do the serving. I know it's easier to just be a part, to be a spectator in this fight. It's easier to live my way than it is to live God's way. But I want to tell you, the future God has for you, the milk, the honey, and the grapes, it's not down easy road. It's not down easy road. You got to fight for it. You got to fight for it. You got to fight for it. It's not going to land in your laps. You got to fight for it. And so I want to encourage you, church, this summer, as the summer comes to an end and as we go into a new season, will you stand with me and say, "I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to fight for this community. I'm ready to fight for this church. I'm ready to fight for my town, for my family. I'm ready to fight for my children who don't believe. I'm ready to fight for my children that live in their own way. I'm ready to fight for the young kids that are in this building today, that they might have a better future because of the fight I am willing to fight today. I'm ready to fight again. I've been tired. I've been worn down. I've been living smaller than my potential. But today I'm ready to fight again." Why don't you stand with me? We're going to close. Sorry, I've probably gone on too long. I have. Why don't you just hold your hands out, ready to receive from God. I believe God wants to fill you with His Spirit today, as Andy's already said. He fills you with His Spirit right now. You're going to feel that fight come back into you again. Believe. believe you're going to walk out of this building today with a new fight in you, ready to pray again, ready to pick up your Bible again, ready to give again, ready to serve again, ready to love again, even though you've been mistreated, even though your love has been rejected so many times, you're going to keep loving, you're going to keep giving, even though you've been brokenhearted, even though COVID has taken life out of you, you're ready to fight again. As the Spirit fills you right now, strength is coming to your arms, strength is coming to your legs, strength is coming to your spirit. It's not going to be easy. I'm not saying it's not going to be a battle. I'm not saying you're not going to need to face those giants of fear and worry and doubt anymore. I'm not saying that it's just going to happen overnight. But I am saying, with the strength of God and the Spirit of God in you, you can fight. There is a promised land. And Caleb, it took 40 years before he could walk into the promised land. He was willing to keep fighting, to keep believing. The whole generation of slavery had to die before a new generation could rise up and walk in to the promised land, because Caleb had a different spirit. He was ready to fight and keep believing regardless of how long it took. I believe that's the spirit God wants to put in you today, a different spirit. He wants you to fight in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. We receive your spirit and your power and your strength today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, in a COVID safe way, amen.
Waymaker, miracle worker.